Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom's engineering, as he does so capably in producing our show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this March 18th, Friday, 2016. We won't even mention, well, in passing, the Wildcat game. One and done, Dylan Smith.
Now, though, I have probably some time to take care of some tasks around the house. You know, plenty of extra time here in the end of March.
There you go. We are live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Streaming and podcasts comes to you at KVOI.com and my website, BuckmasterShow.com. A big shout-out to our media partners. Speaking of Dylan Smith, Dylan, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan, for your support of our show over the
years. Absolutely.
Inside Tucson Business supports Buckmaster, as does the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to all of them. And Emil Franzi, Southern Arizona News Examiner.com, also supporting our program. The Friday Focus interview, Fletcher McCusker is with us. Mr. McCusker, the chair of the Rio Nuevo Governing Board, which oversees the Rio Nuevo District in downtown Tucson. Dylan is here to join me in the questioning. And if you have a question, our listeners, 790-2040. Mr. McCusker would be happy to hear from you. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and now at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Fletcher, how are you?
I'm good. I just barely sat down.
Well, that's fine.
Happy to be here.
The folks at home didn't know that you were rushing, and you're here, and that's the good thing. You had 3 weeks in Ireland. Good trip.
It was a great trip. Our family, of course, McCusker's Irish. Part of the Maguire clan, so my son and I have spent several weeks in Irish libraries and visiting graveyards and churches and traced our family back to 1302. So it was a fascinating trip, and I'm glad he went with me. He was more interested in it than I was. He's 27 now, Bill. But he really engaged in finding our Irish roots.
And you were not there on St. Patrick's Day. And I understand in Ireland, St. Patrick's Day is not as big a deal over there as it is here.
Yeah, we've definitely Americanized it. We did actually visit St. Patrick's grave. Because he was stationed in Northern Ireland, where our family's from. And, of course, the Catholics are now a minority in Northern Ireland. That's a whole nother story. But we learned a lot on the trip. It's a beautiful country. It's so green and lush. It was a fun trip to do with your family.
Were you in Dublin at all?
No, we were all in Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay.
So Belfast and Fermanagh counties and all the six counties of the Northern Ireland region.
The reason I asked about Dublin was leading into downtown, because the way Dublin has changed with Grafton Street, I don't know if you've been there, but that's all closed off, and they have done a beautiful job of kind of a pedestrian-only area, Dylan, that kind of has been very successful, showing you don't really need a car in certain areas of a downtown.
And that was a part of Dublin that for quite a while was pretty economically distressed. And, right now, a few blocks off of Grafton Street, there are still, buildings that are boarded up and bashed in windows and all of that. But there are definitely parts of that city. It's really surprises me how compact some of those places are. A world-famous city with so much heritage, so much history, so many cultural things have happened there. And it's really, not a huge place. It's got suburbs around it that have boomed, but the city itself is not a enormous
walking friendly place.
Here in Tucson, it's pretty hard to get around without a car in Tucson.
Yes.
I mean, this is a very far flung city, but I think to transition back to talking a little bit about Tucson, we do have a little bit of that concept of building a more compact area where you can do a lot of things in one spot. So for downtown, how are things going?
Well,
what is your assessment?
That's an interesting segue to the AC Hotel, which you can see the crane downtown now. It's pillar cornerstones are going up. The AC, of course, is a Spanish brand hotel, and it started in Madrid and Salamanca and places like that that are very urban. And it's interesting to me that they selected Tucson as one of their first cities. So the AC, which is a very hip, very urban boutique hotel, is going into Miami, Chicago, San Diego, and Tucson. And we are beginning to be recognized now as one of those walkable urban environments. And it's not coincidental that you're now beginning to see residential units, which is what we've always been missing as part of that chemistry. But you know, the apartments that are going up on Broadway and Stone are totally leased up already. You know, there's 25 townhomes, market rate townhomes being built downtown. So we see the beginnings of what you see in the, whether it's Europe or the American cities that have adapted to these urban environments, you're seeing all the pieces finally come together: residential, hotel, food and restaurant, corporate living and lifestyles, light rail. You know, anywhere you go in Europe, you can ride a streetcar. You know, so, you know, I don't know that we'll be identified, you know, with Dublin or, you know, places like that. But, you know, it's very exciting to be part of that now. And we actually have real projects that are coming out of the ground now. A Hyatt across the street from the TCC, that's Alan Norville's project. The AC, the River Park Inn, they're right off the freeway, has a GPLAT proposal into the city to renovate its hotel. So we may see three or four hotels, you know, in the downtown core within the next year.
Is the AC brand associated then with Marriott?
They have Marriott acquired
it. Partnership with them?
Yeah, they actually acquired it. It's a Spanish name. I'm going to butcher it. Antonio Castellana. That's where the AC comes from. It's very popular in Spain and very popular throughout Europe. Known to be a walkable, urban, hip, young kind of environment. Marriott bought it. But it's being run, you know, by these European hotel operators, and you know, they did. They looked at cities in America that would be European-like destinations for them, and Tucson's one of the first five cities they selected. It's really quite remarkable when you think we're so pissy about Tucson. When you think how other people look at us. You know, they could go anywhere in the world. Literally.
We love to beat ourselves up.
We
here,
do.
Don't
we? We really we tend to focus on the negative, and the media does, and we tend to, you know, gripe
about what a horrible place this is,
and how poverty and the government, and you know. But here, you've got someone totally outside of us selecting this as a city for one of the top hotels in the world. It's really quite remarkable.
To beat things up a little bit, because that's what we do.
They do. It's a Tucson thing.
Well, and the media as well. We've seen already a number of restaurants, especially, come and go over the last couple of years downtown. And there seems to, you know, really almost be too many at this point. Have we hit a saturation point?
There are some
restaurants and other small businesses.
There's
downtown.
Some people a lot smarter than me that would probably agree with that. Sam Fox had a property under control there, and he's opted not to build downtown. So you're beginning to see some concern about restaurant saturation. The ones that are doing well are the ones that are really good restaurants. So I think you've also seen a higher bar established, you know, where places like The Grill and Dizzy G's weren't going to survive in a foodie destination. You know, downtown's become synonymous now for people that want to walk and eat or go to a pre-theater or, you know, post-concert kind of venue. So that's raised the rents. It's raised the bar about the restaurants. It's required more renovations to compete. It's going to be interesting to see how Elvira's does. You know, they're doing a very extensive renovation. Mm-hmm. And, of course, El Charro has taken over the failed Barrio to convert that into a downtown steakhouse. So there still seems to be a lot of interest, Dylan, but they're kind of high-end, more expensive restaurants. But people seem now to be driving downtown, not unlike we used to do when Tankaverde was kind of restaurant row. You know, there's going to be a row of restaurants there that are generally high-quality restaurants. And so we see a lot of interest still in downtown restaurant and club kind of activity, and you know, doesn't seem to be pushing the the desire out for people to locate along the streetcar.
And getting back to hotels, renovation, how about Mr. Lopez's property?
Still complicated. They are moving forward on the La Placita part of that.
That's been complicated for a while.
Complex. The county may have helped us with a precedent. The history of Lopez's demands is that he wanted long-term tax abatement. The GPLET, if you understand how that works, is an 8-year program. He felt that other cities have been more aggressive in terms of working with developers. The deal the county just did with Worldview is a 15-year deal. That's the first time we've seen a government jurisdiction go beyond 8 years. So, you know, the two sides may at some point come together and find something that Bert will live with and that the city can live with. And the big issue there, Bill, is tax abatement. You know, what does it take to incentivize a developer in a blighted area in terms of property tax forgiveness to encourage them to build? And the GPLET, the AC is a GPLET. The One West Broadway is a GPLET. So developers seem to be finding a way to work within these eight-year programs, except for that particular property.
12:15 now on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview with Fletcher McCusker of the Rio Nuevo Board. It is Rock and Roll Friday here, our bump music, rock and roll music from whenever. And today's featured performer, one of my favorites, the late, great Dan Fogelberg.
Well, there's too many windows in this old hotel, and rooms filled with reckless pride. And the walls have grown sturdy, and the halls have worn well, but there is nobody living inside. Nobody living.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Rock and Roll Friday. Dan Fogelberg, our featured artist, the late great, died at age 56, far too young, of prostate cancer back in 2007. Dylan Smith is with us. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com, where he's the editor and publisher, and Fletcher McCusker is head of the Rio Nuevo board. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by the James Beard award-winning chef Janos Wilder and his new venture. It's called The Carriage House. It's an event and cooking school located at 125 South Arizona Avenue. That's, of course, in downtown Tucson. The April cooking class roster has just been announced, featuring some of Tucson's most talented chefs sharing many of their favorite recipes. Classes are offered on Tuesday evening at 6, Saturday morning at 11. To call and to register for the classes, 615-6100, or go online, carriagehousetucson.com. Fletcher, what do you think about the Janos Wilder new product that
well,
he is presenting?
Thank God for Janos Wilder. I mean, he set such a high bar when he came back downtown, and I think it attracted a lot of other chefs to be in and around the area. And, you know, Chris Bianco wouldn't be there today except for Janos. This is directly, if you're familiar with that property in the parking lot, this would be directly east. So it's not physically connected, but three steps away. Beautiful old building. It was a carriage mm-hmm. house. So the fact that he's able to expand, thriving, doing really well, I think speaks to the opportunities that we've seen downtown for these kind of high-quality restaurant experiences. Maynard's is doing great. Cafe Poca Cosa, proper. You know, you've just got a real opportunity for a lot of variety now. And, you know, the Fox had its best year ever. The Rialto had its best year ever. So clearly after dusk, we have a very thriving food and entertainment zone. And it's total coincidence. There's no master plan. There was no zoning. There was no incentives. You know, Rio Nuevo had failed. So this is really private risk takers like Janos who have chosen to invest in a downtown experience. And it's paying off for all of us. It makes our role at government more to support them as opposed to trying to do this ourselves. So it's hard to imagine what downtown would look like if Rio Nuevo had been successful. It wouldn't look like what we have now. It would be these monolithic museums that, you know, probably nobody would be going to.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Ingrid, you're up first.
Hi, I had a couple of questions, sir. Mm-hmm. One has to do with worldview, and the other one has to do with how the private sector's right to manage its own business is being interfered with by the government. If I wanted to purchase some property downtown that's for sale, and then accepted a proposal to rent it to a business, say a restaurant. Why does the government feel justified to interfere? Even if there are three restaurants in a row, why in the world is government involved in that decision? It's the business owner. And then Worldview. Are there any local owners in Worldview? And how do we get shares in that company?
I don't know. Okay, Mr. McCusker, I don't know if you're up to date on Worldview, but
I am intimately. They are local. They are Biospherians. You know, they've been around since the Biosphere and developed a really unique company that had opportunities to relocate elsewhere. They were being recruited into New Mexico and Florida, and this is the county. Rio Nuevo had nothing to do with it, but the county was encouraged by all of us to find ways to keep them here. This is a young millennial workforce, you know, and a really interesting product that has more than just tourist implications. And, you know, the government's really not interfering. It brings up an interesting point about partners. We've elected to partner, and when you partner downtown, you don't get to pick your partners. They're property owners, they're developers, they're people that seized the moment years ago and bought property when you could buy it for next to nothing. So you don't get to kind of go around and say, we'll work with you, we won't work with you. And that's been part of the legacy, frankly, of the city in Rio Nuevo. We like you, but we don't like you, so we're going to work with you, but we're not going to work with you. We're obligated, I think, to work with anybody that wants to work downtown. If you're willing to risk money and invest and put your blood, sweat, and tears into a project, we're going to find a way to help you. And the AC is a good example of that. We put up $4 million into a $35 million project. They couldn't have done it without us, but we never would have done a $35 million hotel. You know, so it's forced people to come together to find ways to syndicate these proposals. And the city, which is the one that interferes in restaurant operators, it's not so much because you've got one next door. It's the code requirements to bring an old building built at the turn of the century up to a modern restaurant. The electrical, the kitchen, the restrooms, the handicapped access.
You know, the health and safety codes, the fire codes.
Yeah,
and
it makes it really hard.
Are you involved in Worldview? Do you have any stake
in
the company?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I don't think there's any stock available to the public. I think it's privately owned. And it's just a really interesting idea. Mm-hmm. You know, they were built to carry passengers aloft, but they've found a lot of commercial applications for keeping a balloon aloft. The most logical one, of course, is internet. So if you can put 100 balloons around the U.S. at 125,000 feet that are internet capable, imagine what that does for connectivity. So that's why the communities, you know, we've got a developing tech community here with a lot of young millennials now picking us over Austin or Palo Alto or San Diego. They're coincidentally based downtown. So, you know, I think it's an important part of developing a tech community.
Gloria has been waiting patiently, 790-2040. Hi, Gloria.
Hi there. So we were recently in San Diego, and they have lots of great restaurants, of course. They also have a lot of things you can go and do or see. So how are you, Rio Nuevo, working with the Presidio or with the Mission Garden or any other of the historical places that people can visit?
Okay.
It's a great question, and it remains part of our mission. It's just not the sole part of our mission. We have given the Mission Gardens a little over $1 million to complete that project. We think it has real tourism implications for the far west side. We're working with the Presidio on improving their concession capabilities. They're right now part of the Parks and Rec Department. So the failure of the bonds really hurt a lot of these museums that were developing downtown. The art museum that was going to be in the old courthouse, the January 8th Memorial. There were a lot of other things planned that frankly now there's no way to fund. So, you know, we're trying to find private sector interests, corporate interests that might align with us. The Indian nations, for example, might be interested in reviving one of these museum ideas. So without some way to build these, which, of course, San Diego has. San Diego was a TIF as well. You know, it's going to be harder and take a longer time to bring them downtown.
Dylan, I've got about a minute to go. Go ahead with the final question.
There are still plenty of little holes that need filling downtown, like, say, the Post Project, especially the couple of blocks across the street from the cathedral. How are things moving ahead in getting those holes filled in?
Each one you got to discuss individually. We probably don't have time today. I'd be happy to come back. But the Thrifty Block's on our agenda for the March meeting to get an update from the developer. They have completed kind of the corners of it, but the middle, as you said, still vacant. The diocese has some proposals for properties in and around and across the street, which also involve Rio Nuevo's participation. So you'll see some interest in that as the east side of downtown is kind of moving along. The focus is going to be on the west side and the TCC and the properties around the TCC.
All right, Fletcher McCusker, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Fletcher McCusker with us on our Friday Focus interview. Dylan Smith sticks around, and Dan Scheer will join us. We'll talk about the news of the day on the Friday Roundtable right after we hear some more from Dan Fogelberg, one of his big hits, Make Love Stay.
Now that we love, now that the lonely nights are over, how do we make love stay?
Hey honey, welcome home. How was your trip to LA?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to LA, I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, plus a tournament update from Wildcat Sports contributor Anthony Jimeno. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KBOI, live streaming podcasts and our archive on my site, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tom, get on the microphone there. Where did you find this cut? I did not realize Dan Fogelberg, who is our Rock and Roll Friday bump music performer today, I didn't know he ever did a song called Tucson, Arizona.
I didn't either.
What the heck?
It's a nice El Camino he's riding around in there.
Well, we were talking with Fletcher during one of the breaks, that Fletcher said that he thought that Mr. Fogelberg, Dylan Smith, may have spent some time here in Tucson. So this is kind of reinforcing that.
Doesn't everybody spend some time in Tucson at some point?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, we all
it's
come.
Kind of a given.
There we go. Dan Scheer joining us. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I got some good news for you regarding U of A athletics.
Go ahead.
Okay, maybe the basketball team didn't win, but
right.
Tomorrow's the Pac-12 championships for gymnastics.
You follow that.
I'm a season ticket holder, Bill. This is the first year for Tabitha Yim as the coach, and they're gonna crush it tomorrow.
Where did this love of gymnastics come from? I don't think I've ever met Dylan, a season ticket holder for gymnastics.
There are thousands of us.
Wow.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, sure.
Well, there's a lot. Yeah.
Do they even charge to get into the gymnastics? or do they just give you the honorary sort of, here's your season ticket, sir, because you keep showing up?
And when you're done, I will tell you, season tickets, you can get them all for $20 total.
Were you a parallel bars guy? You were a high school gymnast?
You know what? Nadia Comaneci, 1976 Olympics. I was 12, and I thought, hey, I think I can do that. Mm. And then found out, guys do that too.
All right.
And I really enjoyed it.
I think it is really impressive, the dedication that student athletes who are in, what I guess you would call the minor sports, the less recognized, less featured
sports. And it's a year-round sport, too.
And they put in just as much time and effort.
Tom?
I'd like to see Dan do an Iron Cross.
Yeah, he'd like to see you do an Iron Cross. Yeah.
You know, I gave up the Olympic dream a couple years ago.
All right. We have so much to cover and so little time. Dylan, why don't you start with, suddenly Arizona is on the political map.
The circus is coming to town, ladies and gentlemen.
Quick recap, who's where?
We had Ted Cruz make a PR visit to the border this morning. Bernie Sanders is coming this evening to Tucson, I believe. Correct me if I get these wrong. Okay. The list has gotten confusing. We've got Bill Clinton making a visit on Sunday.
TCC.
And we have Donald Trump making a visit tomorrow.
Again,
and,
the TCC.
Who knows who else might just show up.
That'd be an interesting downtown because the Cesar Chavez parade and rally is also downtown tomorrow afternoon. So interesting.
And you know, really, it just kind of shows how so many of these campaigns are still very much stuck in an old school way of running their efforts. That, you know, Election Day is coming up. It's in a couple days. We'll all go to Tucson to try and also to Phoenix, where a number of candidates are going, to try and turn out the vote. Yeah. Of course, people have been voting for
a long time. People, a lot of minds.
Plenty of people have cast
up
ballots for people who have dropped out of the race in the meantime.
Yeah, more than half the early ballots have already been returned.
Dan Scheer, a couple of items with you right off the bat. Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, who was retiring after 20 years, he was addressing the Green Valley Council. This is the council that meets once a month, right?
Right. They meet once a month. They represent about 80% of the HOAs down there. And Ray comes down and just kind of checks in, lets them know what's going on with the county. But Ray made it clear yesterday during his visit that he's not going to go quietly. He spent a good amount of time hitting Allie Miller over the head and warning or perhaps advising.
Verbally hitting Allie over
the definitely.
Head.
Yeah, definitely. But advising a couple of the candidates who are in the race for his seat to make sure, quote, don't let anyone get elected to help Allie Miller take your money away. So we had two of the three candidates there. And
that's a tough statement.
It is. And then he went on from there. He talked a little bit about the Rosemont Mine and whatever. Ray's going to leave office here in, what, roughly 10 months or so. And as I said, he's not going to go quietly. And he says he's not going to endorse in the race, but he's certainly making it clear that he has some pet projects, things that he has been real passionate about for 20 years, that he wants to make sure that they don't go away.
We had Mr. Backer, John Backer, is one of the three candidates. That's an interesting race now. When you get three, of course, Dylan changes, of course, the dynamic.
Completely, especially if a couple of those candidates
are not least, as well known as a Steve Christie.
Not as well known, but also at least seemingly are vying for the same sort of support and possibly end up splitting the vote.
Sharon Bronson, Pima County Board of Supervisors Chair, Dylan and Dan. Sharon was with me on the show yesterday, and she announced that she had just received word that the Pima County budget suddenly has taken a big hit, down $7.4 million. What's that all about, Dan?
Well, I liked the quote from the interview. I'm shocked. I don't know what else to say. That was exactly what she told you. And the more she talked, the more she was really getting at a back-to-basics government because we simply can't afford it. It was 3 months left in the fiscal year, and she was saying, yeah, we're down $7.4 million in red ink that we did not expect. And she truly seemed rattled when she was on your show. But then again, she was going back to what a lot of people wishes the board would do anyway, and that is just provide the basics. And, of course, the context for your discussion was the parental leave, which the county had been pursuing to give men and women, county workers, a good amount of time off after the birth or adoption of a child.
And even though it's about $500,000, which seems like small potatoes.
Especially out of a billion-dollar budget. But then when you suddenly
have this red
millions.
Ink. Yeah. So I would think that
And that's not a policy that's been instituted yet.
No.
You know, that would be a policy that would really take effect for the next fiscal year. So it's not you don't get the money back if you suddenly cancel that. So it's not really a contribution to a budget hole that's going on right now. But whether it would be politically tenable to say that, oh, we're going to keep that and find the money elsewhere.
Not when you have sheriff's deputies who are and others are saying they want a pay raise. So, I mean, it's
well,
just...
The big question, though, is do we need that sort of a policy to draw a certain level of worker? I mean, a certain skill set or people who really are kind of top-notch. Are they expecting that as a benefit? And I think that is really the question for Pima County is this could be an investment in better employees, but for now it seems like Sharon was
saying... keeping employees who you do attract and not having them, if they have a change in their family situation, with having them end up leaving because they don't have that kind of leave. So then you have all the hiring and recruiting, training costs, all of that.
But Supervisor Bronson pretty much was saying, yeah, this is just not going to happen.
The bill redefining intersections. What's the latest on that? I know, Dan, you spoke with State Representative Chris Ackerley today, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And he told me that the bill died in the Senate Transportation Committee after the red light camera companies signed on against the bill. And this would have just, like you say, redefined the intersections, and there would not have been as many red light camera tickets, and which is, of course, why they're opposed to it. But it would have brought us in line. It would have brought us in line with nearly every single state in the union, and that's what Chris wanted. And that one apparently is dead for this session.
Great. I was going to say, do you have a comment on that before I move on?
No, go ahead. I don't have anything fit for the radio.
Okay. Greyhound Racing. What is the deal with that? That may be dead.
We shall see. I mean, it's a very unusual situation. You know, there are across the country so very few places where live dog racing is still allowed. One of them is still here in Tucson. So it's really about you know, not the people who show up down at the park down there. It's about people placing bets all across the country.
That's right.
On what's going on in this dog track here. So the stakes on this bill are not purely local like we would think they are. There's more money being floated around on this.
And I thought it was interesting that it comes out the same week that SeaWorld announces it's ending its captive breeding program for killer whales. I was checking down as I go back through 51 years of Green Valley News editions. Amato, of course, used to have a greyhound park, and it closed in 1983. So it was real big down there. We are surprised, but we're not surprised. But we'll see. There's a lot of politics involved in this decision. We'll see which way it goes.
And the issue for people who are want to get rid of it is that we have so many dogs who end up get injured. They're not treated how you would treat the family pet, let's just say.
Well, maybe it'll go the way of High Lie. I remember working back in the media in Las Vegas in the 70s at the MGM. They had a High Lie court that was extremely popular. It had been popular in South Florida. I don't even know if anybody still does High Lie in the United States.
You got me.
One of the fastest games on earth, actually, with the ball going around and whatever it is.
Dangerous.
Definitely a transition going on here with the Greyhound.
Hey, and what is this about our former city manager, former police chief Richard Miranda in TucsonSentinel.com? Dylan, you wrote about Mr. Miranda has a new job.
Indeed. He's gone from working for the city to working for the county. He's managing the security for the county's wastewater program, which kind of a...
Stinky, smelly job, but somebody's got to do it, right?
But people don't realize that they, especially over the past 15 years, there's been a real effort across the country to harden potential terrorist targets, infrastructure. So there's a whole lot of extensive security that goes on around water treatment plants that, they've got cameras and gates and detectors and all of that. So it's a bit of an interesting situation that somebody who was running the city is now a subordinate at the county. That's got a lot of people with their eyebrows raised just over how that ends up looking. You know, leaving aside the question of whether he's qualified, he was a police chief, so I think he knows a little bit about how to run security for things.
The fire department's also going to be looking at some cutbacks, too, aren't they, here in the city of Tucson?
Well, I think every city department is going to end up taking a hit. But, the plans for cuts for police and fire have been made public, and I think those are probably the most high-profile, what'll get a reaction from more people. And, there's a little bit of political gamesmanship in how the city is approaching this, that the really not-so-subtle message is that we need to increase the sales tax to pay for these things, or we're going to cut all of this stuff.
All right, and Tom, ever on top of things has just pulled up some information about Hylai. It's gained more attention, making a small comeback, perhaps because the Dos Equis commercials, where the most interesting man in the world makes a spectacular Hylai play, is responsible. And St. Petersburg, Florida recently opened up a Hylai facility to train new players. They call those, by the way, frontons. That's what the playing area is all about. And there are plans to open one in Dallas, Texas, and Hartford, Connecticut. So you learned something today, Dylan.
Indeed, I did. Actually, that Dos Equis campaign is going away. They're winding down that pitch with that character.
And Dan, you said it's fast. They say horse races are fun, but watching a ball being hurled 170 miles an hour and men diving to the ground and running up the wall to get the said ball has an appeal of its own. Yeah, very interesting. Well, I'll tell you what the appeal is. People love to bet on it. Yeah, I mean, they like to watch it, but they love to bet on it. Quickly running out of time. Anything about Senator Andy Biggs, who will be on the show in a couple of weeks? He's been... What is this deal about kids and medical coverage?
Well, I think this is the kids care program, and we're talking about 30,000 kids here. And I think what he wants to make sure is that if we bring them onto the rolls, we're not going to be dumping them in the face of federal cuts possibly next year. So, I mean, he doesn't like the program. He has just flat out said that. But it's not that he doesn't like children. I think he just wants to be able to have some sort of a sustained program for them. So it'll be an interesting conversation that you have with him, because he certainly is getting a bad reputation out
there. Why not cover them for that year and then see what happens? I mean, doesn't every budget take place, you know, is sort of in that we don't know what's going to happen in the future?
Well, I think it's because they would feel that they would be on the hook, and that maybe the state would have to step in and now take this obligation, because if you give it to them, it's really tough to take it away. So he's just saying, don't give it to them.
Well, you know, a few years back, the state kicked plenty of people off of the health care rolls.
Yes, they did. And that's why this will be an interesting conversation, because he's certainly looking like the boogeyman right now.
How about David Gowen? How's he doing right now?
Well, you know, he's running still in a district he doesn't live in for Congress. And
making public appearances even farther away from that district, down on the border today.
Yeah, but he's still out there. He picked up an endorsement, I don't know, a week and a half ago that was fairly strong, a national one. And so still out there plugging away. And we follow him. He's in Sierra Vista, but he used to cover our area as a state legislator in Green Valley. So he's still in there in a very crowded race.
And so you have interviewed all three now of the candidates for Ray Carroll's seat?
I have talked to two out of the three.
Ms. Clausen?
Yeah, I've talked to Steve Christie also, and I know John Backer personally. I've known him for several years. Mm-hmm. So I do know all of them.
John was on the show a couple of days ago here.
Yep.
And he says he's got an accounting background, that he would be a perfect fit for Pima County.
Right. He's been involved in the community. He's knows the area. He lives in Sarita, and he's a man of integrity. So three people who really will bring something different, though. But as you mentioned, Steve Christie certainly has the name recognition and probably the money.
All right. Dan and Dylan, Dan will look for your work in the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Your paper, for those that don't know, comes out
Wednesdays and Sundays, and then the Saharita Sun is on Wednesdays and always online.
And can anyone get online and just check it out?
Or? Absolutely.
Okay. And Dylan, how about your organization, TucsonSentinel.com?
Online
You don't have to pay to look at it.
Well, you know, we certainly appreciate the contributions that we get from our readers, but we want to make sure that people are as informed as possible in this town.
Well, we appreciate it. Hope you both have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Dan Fogelberg, and then we'll have Weekend Watch right after this.
I think if I had been only allowed to write one song in my lifetime, it would have been this one. Child alone and wild, a cabinet maker's son. His hands are meant for different work, and his heart unknown to none. He left his home and went his lone and solitary way.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist Matt Russell, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Big weekend this weekend over in Silver City, the little mountain town of Pinos Altos, just 10 minutes north of Silver City at the Buckhorn Opera House.
Eliza Gilkison, Grammy Award winner, performing at the Buckhorn at 7:30 in Pinos Altos. Just again, 3 hours east of Tucson. Great places to stay in the area like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. More information, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell, who has now, well, you've gotten rid of the St. Patrick's Day gear, and he's now got his Let's Party hat on for the weekend.
Indeed, going through my corned beef detox program that begins today. Well, I tell you what, Bill, we could not have dialed up a nicer day for this Friday happy hour, and my pick today is Hermanos Craft Beer and Wine Bar on 4th Avenue. Now, one of the reasons we love Hermanos for happy hour is that it starts at 11 a.m., which means that we're already late, Bill. All draft brews are a buck off, and the list changes throughout the day. And the house-made hummus and ceviche will contribute to the happiness as well. Get down to Hermanos today for happy hour and start the weekend.
Oh, Mike, I knew you'd find one that started in the morning. Josh Mussman, one of the Mussman brothers at Vero Mori on our program yesterday, talking about the 10-year anniversary. They've done such a great job with Vero Mori.
I can't believe it's been a decade, Bill, since they opened their doors. And as your listeners probably know, they're going to be celebrating for the rest of the month by offering the items from their original menu, and better yet, at their original prices. Mm-hmm. Some of their great authentic Neapolitan pizzas and Italian dishes are going to be making a triumphant return, and this weekend will be perfect to help celebrate and enjoy a great meal at the same time. I love those guys.
And, of course, they're doing now breakfast Saturday and Sunday at Vero Amore. Okay, you've got another opening.
Yeah, when a food truck does so well that it graduates to a brick-and-mortar space, it means the people have responded, and that's what you'll discover at the new Carnitas Yaloca, 3530 South 6th Avenue. Now, together with its conventional lineup of Mexican fare, this menu features more obscure dishes like pig stomach and pig skin, which are fried for 4 hours until super tender. Bill, I don't know how you like your stomach, but I like mine on a corn tortilla with habanero salsa, and they'll be ready for me this weekend at Carnitas Yaloca.
What's in the Inside Tucson Business column?
Well, you know, Bill, sad as it is to report, our good friend Chef Albert Hall has decided to close his restaurant, Acacia, on May the 15th, and my column this week reflects on some of my favorite moments with Albert over the 20 years that I've known him, and you can read the entire story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Good weekend to you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
We do so much local talk here. 5 hours each Monday through Friday, and then the weekend predominantly is local talk shows like Swap Shop Trains A-Comin' with Charles Heller from 10 to 11 on Sunday morning. Great lineup of shows here on KVOI on the weekend. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of the whole team here at KVOI and my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we hope you have a great weekend. Back with you Monday.